In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you know, this past week, St. Mark's hosted the 5th National Conference of the Society of Catholic Priests. We had a wonderful week together with powerful liturgies, beautiful singing, inspiring presentations, and a truly transformational afternoon spent at the St. James School. I am so grateful to all of you who helped St. Mark's be so wonderfully hospitable, to all of our conference guests and society members who came to Philadelphia from all over the country. One of the joys of hosting a conference like this, of course, is getting to show off the city in which you live. Many of our guests were coming to Philadelphia for the first time, and it was a lot of fun for me to watch them explore this city that I love so much. Our conference agenda was quite full, so I didn't make so many recommendations about what to do as I did about where to eat. Introducing guests to the wonders of Stephen Starr, assuring them that, yes, I'm not kidding, that vegan restaurant is really supposed to be quite good, trying to convince them that the gelato at Capogiro is legit, and, of course, naming all of the places within a 4-block radius that know how to pour a good pint. I enjoyed listening to the conferees report back the next morning on where they'd gone and on what they had experienced when they got there. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that I had more than half a dozen priest colleagues tell me with great wonder and awe of their experience that showing up in a bar in Philadelphia in a collar will get you a free round. And they just couldn't believe it. Now remember, many of these priests live in rural areas or maybe in the South where the sight of a priest in clericals might raise an eyebrow, but probably not a pint glass. But Philly, as you know, is still a pretty intensely Roman Catholic city. And when a gaggle of priests walks into a bar and an obvious joke doesn't follow, well, some of our very hospitable neighbors reach into their wallets and tell the barkeep to buy the nice fathers and maybe the lone and slightly confusing mother whiskey chaser on them. My colleagues were blown away by this, and many of them have, I am quite sure, gone home to update their profile pages on the church deployment website in the hopes of working here permanently. Now, as someone who lives here, I can say that this does not actually happen regularly. At least not to me. It probably does to Father Mullen. And I'm sure that part of the reason for the free rounds was that there were just so many of us. You know, 4 full tables of priests in the Irish pub up the street. A baker's dozen of collars at a karaoke bar. I was not there for that, just FYI. And on Friday night, we had 10 priestly types around a common table at the restaurant The Farmer's Cabinet. That much black clerical wear tends to attract a bit of attention. So, on Friday night, at the Farmer's Cabinet, we decided that since everybody was looking at us anyway, we would go whole hog. And when our food came out, we stood up around our table and sang the doxology. Okay, shut up. Be nice. Now, I have to admit, I feel a little sheepish telling you that. And when I typed it, my palms got a little sweaty. I'm nervous. And now you're giggling at me, admitting to you that I stood up in a restaurant in Philadelphia on a Friday night and sang praises to God in a loud and lusty voice. And there are 1,000 little voices in my head whispering all of the reasons why. Because it isn't very elegant. Because we Episcopalians just don't do that. Because it was show-offy. Because it inconvenienced other diners. Because Jesus said to go into your closet to pray. Because it was rude or pushy or gauche. And maybe there's some truth there. I don't know. But I can say that in the moment, I didn't feel any of those things. I just really felt incredibly grateful. Grateful for the friends around the table, grateful for the week that we had just shared, grateful that the week was over, grateful for the fact that I get to serve a parish as generous and beautiful as St. Mark's, with musicians as generous and beautiful as ours, grateful that I get to work with a priest as fine as Father Mullen, so grateful that another very fine priest, Mother Johnson, offered to take the Mass for me yesterday morning so that I could sleep in. I was grateful, filled with joy, happy to sing out my praises to God. It felt good. It felt right. It felt necessary. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus seems to expect this behavior from the lepers that he has healed. Were not 10 made clean, he asks, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Only one has returned, a Samaritan, who has not only come back to thank Jesus for this miracle, but praised God with a loud voice. Now, it's easy for us with our 21st century eyes to imagine that this kind of thing happened all the time in first century Palestine. People must have just been running around all the time, praising God with a loud voice, a common occurrence, the running and the leaping and the prostrating yourself before an itinerant preacher. Common occurrence, more acceptable in those days, except that it obviously wasn't. Because only one of the lepers returned. Only one of them came tearing back down the street towards Jesus, making a complete spectacle of himself by shouting out his praises and thanks to God right in the middle of the village square. Only one of them was filled up enough with the Holy Spirit to just not care if he was being inelegant or rude, if he was inconveniencing people with his songs of praise, if he was fitting in with commonly accepted village etiquette. Only one of them felt good enough to be loud about it. And Jesus seems okay with the loudness. He doesn't shush him, which, after all, Jesus has been known to do from time to time. He doesn't say, oh, yes, that's very nice, thanks, but would you mind taking your exuberance over to the synagogue? There are people here who don't want to hear that kind of thing. No, Jesus says that his faith, that enthusiastic, raucous faith, has made him well. His loud voice of praise isn't just okay, it's actually an active and living force, a force for healing, a force for good, a force for the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go running out into the street praising God with a loud voice, although maybe that is exactly what I should be saying, honestly. And the point isn't really just to be braver about saying grace, although that isn't such a bad idea either. The point is to find ways for us to be that grateful, to dig for the taproot of our gratitude and let it well up within us, to look at our lives and be so filled up full with thanksgiving that we cannot help but sing out in a loud voice for the food we eat, for the jobs we have, the city we live in, the people we love, for the bodies that we are, the God that we worship. If we take the time to notice all that we have, to stop and breathe and actually look at the grace that really does flow through all of our lives, running around praising God with a loud voice won't feel so ridiculous. It will feel good. It will feel right. It will feel necessary. This is what we're doing here at St. Mark's during this stewardship season. Our vestry and other leadership of this parish are coming to you, to each of you, to spend some time tapping into that root of gratitude. What do you love about your life, about your church? What do you love about the holy work of God in this city and in the world? I am convinced that when we do that, when we stop and notice and talk about the many gifts in our lives, the praising God with a loud voice just comes. It might look like the number of your pledge written boldly on a card and offered to God on Commitment Sunday. It might look like using words like grateful and blessed and grace in regular, everyday, ordinary language. It might look like smiling at strangers, reaching out in love, maybe even singing. I bet you're wondering what the response was to our impromptu hymn fest at the Farmer's Cabinet. Not much. We got a smattering of applause, which was interesting. And later in the evening, a woman from the table next to us came over and asked us if we would sing happy birthday to her husband, Bob. Obviously, confusing us with that next hot singing group, the 10 Episcopal priests. I left early, so I don't know if the happy birthday happened. And I'm not sure if there was more of a response later on in the night. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we were just an oddity, these people dressed in black and singing a strange old chorale in the midst of cheese plates and cocktails. But maybe, just maybe, there was a young woman in the back corner of the restaurant singing with us under her breath. Maybe, just maybe, there was a college student who remembered that hymn from his old church and felt a swell of gratitude for his old youth group friends from those days. Maybe as we sang about blessings that flow, there was an old man who offered a silent prayer of thanksgiving to God for his recent recovery from surgery, or a mother who thanked God that her daughter-in-law is finally pregnant, or a couple who felt a surge of gratitude just because they were together. Maybe, right? So go, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.